papers mean nothing, so it's let's stand up just for a moment. This morning, yes, good morning, and I thank you for your testimony. I just feel in my heart that the Holy Spirit is here to give us all grace . All of us in some way have impossibilities that we face. And I have watched God through the years give me his grace to overcome impossibilities. So I want you to put your hand on your heart, and I want you to thank the Holy Spirit that's in you. How many know God is here and he's now?
Amen.
Okay. You know, if the Holy Spirit of God is in your heart, he's here. And now means now faith is. And we're going to acknowledge his power to prevail. I'm decreeing over you that God is going to enable us to prevail in things that just seem totally impossible and totally hopeless. But we're receiving this morning his breakthrough that he's already given us. It isn't something he is going to do. He's already done it. And we just thank you, Lord, for a breakthrough this morning in your Holy Spirit. I decree over every one of us that we not resign ourselves to your will when it comes to you working through us, in and through us, to overcome impossibilities. I just decree a breakthrough in that area. For all of us, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. You know, I've told a lot of stories about things, so I don't want to get into all that because you probably heard them, but I have faced enormous impossibilities in my life. And the only reason I succeeded at anything is because of the Holy Spirit enabling me to overcome. And how many know that there really is nothing impossible with God? We make it impossible. Okay. And so last week, I wasn't sure which way I was going to go here this week because of testimonies, and I'm really grateful for testimonies. Lord, we thank you for the peace of Jerusalem, that you are now intervening in this war with Iraq. And we agree for your intervention in this war. Lord, that people through this crisis will come to you. They will receive divine protection, and they will know the power of your angels. We just thank you for intervening, because it's us as the channels that you work through. We just thank you for victory in this war. And you said that you cause wars to cease. And we just thank you for a breakthrough in this area. We thank you for peace being restored. between Russia and Ukraine, a war that Vladimir Putin should have never started to begin with. And obviously now it's backfiring on him. We just thank you for intervening and making that war cease and bringing peace to those people. You have people in that those regions that are praying for peace and restoration in these areas. And we just thank you for breakthroughs in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I can't imagine sometimes being in some of those areas. But there are a lot of people now, of course, that are coming to Christ, and you don't hear that in the news at all. You don't hear any of that. Great Britain, people are turning in mass right now to Jesus Christ over that liberal, ungodly government. Maybe I'll be censored for saying it, but somebody's phone's ringing. Praise the Lord. What I'm saying is that things can look really horrible, but people are turning to Jesus Christ in these war-torn regions especially. They're turning. So even though it's not God's will for war, it's motivating people to find God in their life. Motivating people to come to Jesus Christ as Lord. Last week I've been talking about divine guidance and learning obedience. So I've been talking about two different topics in a sense that. And last week I had a good message last week. It was really, the Holy Spirit showed up, and I did a whole message on obedience in our thought life, how we have to manage our mind, and that God isn't going to do that for us. He'll give us thoughts. I mean, the Holy Spirit will give us thoughts, but we have to walk in a mental clarity. And I'm not going to get into that again because I did a whole 45 minutes on it, and it encouraged me. And then we need to learn, as 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I didn't say give thanks for everything. I said give thanks in everything. And then, of course, John 16:33, overcoming the world. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. Where does peace come from? It comes from within, not in the turmoil around us. The world is turbulent, and it's getting more turbulent. And we can look at all that's going on in the world, and we can end up fearing what's happening right now. And, of course, peace is something that comes from God's Spirit in our heart. And we can always maintain that under any circumstance, or at least that's God's will for us, even though we don't do it. We should do it. And it says, in the world you will have tribulation. We can't escape that. In the fact that we're living in the world, we have to identify with it, and somehow we have to deal with it. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we're thanking God for his victory in that tribulation. And then I had, you know, these are all points that, you know, I had put down on practical obedience. Okay, your thought life, your daily life where you learn to acknowledge God in everything in life, every circumstance. We give not for everything, but we give thanks in everything, that it's really already overcome already. Okay, no matter what we're facing. And then I did point four. I'm just going an overview of some things, and then we're going to talk about divine direction. I like the one that says, and I don't know if I have the, yeah, Psalm 118:24, this is the day. This is how you need to think about your day, that this is the day that the Lord has made. Okay. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, Satan doesn't make the day. God makes your day. And we need to learn to receive him in that day, to thank him that there is a divine purpose in us for that day. You know, when we wake up in the morning, we need to say, Lord, I'm here to serve you in whatever way you want to use me in this day. Okay. I want my life to be centered around his will for that day, anticipating that the Holy Spirit at that point is going to bring divine guidance in his purpose for that day and what he created me for, to serve him in that day. And so, you know, that's what I always do in the morning. I say, Lord, what? Thank you for your will today. Let your kingdom has come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Use me this day, Lord, to make a difference. Use me to glorify you in this day. There should be no confusion about those things. And I have no doubt that if you get into that mindset, I find it amazing that the Holy Spirit is then orchestrating events that I never really totally planned. And he's using your life to fulfill your divine destiny and his purpose in that destiny. That's a daily practical application of obedience to God's will in what he has called you to do. There really, for a mature believer, there should be no independence. There should be dependence on God's direction for that day. That's your heart. That's what you want to do. That you want to glorify God in your life. Okay. You know, the Bible is clear that obedience is better than sacrifice. And a lot of times we can sacrifice to achieve or accomplish something outside of God's will. People are gifted. They can make millions of dollars outside of God's will. But where does it end up in the end? If it's all temporal, if it has no eternal value in it, their work, they die and their works don't follow them because they weren't walking in God's will or being obedient to God's will. Now I want to accomplish something that has an eternal purpose in it. Say an eternal purpose in it. So that when I die, I have fulfilled something that has made an eternal effect in the world. That's why it says, you know, the scripture says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. And then it goes on to say that their works do follow. You know, and I probably have spent some of my life making independent decisions that were out of God's will, that did not serve his purpose. They were temporal. I was trying to accomplish something that I wanted to do. Okay. Or that I thought was the right thing to do without accepting God's guidance in my life. Okay. And his ways are always higher than our ways. You know, I mean, at times he led me to do things that didn't make a bit of sense, common sense. And yet, look at how at times God would direct people in impossible circumstances. You know, when Elijah went to the widow of Zarephath, the Holy Spirit, you know, God had led him to the brook, and God was feeding him through the ravens. Insane. And I really believe that Elijah, you know, he was under the pressure of being killed by the authorities, the king. And God was feeding him through ravens. And then the pond dried up. And somebody say, well, that none of that will ever happen again. Well, now, there are other circumstances, you know, it's obvious that his obedience resulted in God working miracles in his life. And then he tells him, he gives him some direction to go to a widow. And he gets there, it couldn't have looked any worse. She's dying. That's her testimony. Me and my son are here, and they're gonna, you know, we're gonna have our last meal and die. That was her testimony. Big victory, you know what I mean? But he walked into an impossible circumstance. And then God spoke to him, and God had this all planned. He wanted to do something to show his divine ability, and he told the prophet, tell her to make him a little meal first. You know, sometimes what we don't understand is that we must first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so the woman was in a terribly, an impossible situation where all she could see through her circumstances that she was going to die. It didn't just look bad, it looked more than bad. And but the word of the Lord was there. The word of the Lord was there in her circumstance. And the prophet told her, make me a little cake first. Wow, what a thing to do, to take someone that's already starving and then ask him for more for their portion. Didn't make any sense. You'd really be crucified as a pastor if you ever asked somebody to do that. And that resulted in, I don't know how many years until the famine ended, but that resulted in a barrel that just didn't run out. Didn't run out. A profound miracle. I could tell you stories about, you know, God showing me that you wouldn't believe it. Nobody believe it, so I won't tell it. But they, you know, I've had miracles where, and I didn't, I don't know if God was just showing me, but where he multiplied food several times in my life. That miracle is still there and will still happen. You know, God is still God. And we don't know, you know, what we face in the future. It's just unheard of. Nobody's going to believe it. There have been times where I don't even want to give these testimonies, because one time, I don't want to give them because it loses credibility. I've had God multiply. No, I won't tell it. But it's a true testimony. You know, people do not believe in the miraculous very, very often. I'm decreeing today that a breakthrough in the miraculous is going to happen in your life. I'm just decreeing it. But it's tough for people to believe it. But God is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one time I slammed my, I had a Ford Bronco, and I don't want to get into all this, but I opened the door, and I got halfway in, and I had my ankle hanging out. And the wind hit that door, and it caught my ankle. Oh, my God. It just blew it shut right on, right there below the foot. And that was on a Saturday. I remember it clearly. And I went to the church building. I was in such pain, and that ankle swelled up. Just swelled up. And I was laying on the floor in the basement praying, and we had a prayer meeting. And all of a sudden, I told the people, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to sit in this chair. So they set a chair out in the middle of the room, and I said, I am going to jump up and run. I couldn't even walk. I had to finally help me up and get in the chair. Agonizing pain. And I said, when you lay hands on me, I am going to get up and I am going to run. And guess what? I got up and ran. And I had almost an instantaneous miracle. And I was in the pulpit the next day with a completely restored ankle. But you see, I acted in, I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit that enabled me to act in a bold faith, but it resulted in a miraculous divine intervention because of an act of faith. I don't know if the Holy Spirit must have, maybe I had the gift of faith. I don't know what it was, but I've had that happen many, many times. I fell off the, you're building this building over here, and I fell, the garage, I fell off the ladder onto the pavement right here in the driveway. And I just said, I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to just get up and start running. And you know what? Whatever damage was done was just completely restored right there. Now, people won't believe that kind of stuff, but I have experienced it. And I'll stop talking about myself right now. But this, you know, this is the day. The Lord made the day. The Lord intended to be in that day. The Lord intended for us, for His Holy Spirit, to work in and through us in that day. He made it. We're not supposed to give credit to the enemy for a day that he didn't even make. He wants to try and take those days over. But we're not going to let him do it. We're going to receive God's purpose, plan, and power in the day that he has made, right? We are to magnify God in that day. We are to rejoice in it and give thanks. Okay. Say give thanks. You know, the Bible is constantly exhorting us to give thanks. And sometimes we just don't feel like it because of the circumstance that we think we're in. I don't know about you, but I'm just not going to accept defeat. When Jesus won a victory on the cross, we can always go to the reality of the victory that the cross won for his children. And sometimes it's tough. But I'll just tell you right now that man isn't going to be your solution. I'm not saying sometimes man can't work to help you, but when you're up against a struggle, an impossibility, and you know there's no hope but God. You see what I'm saying? And so that we talk about tomorrow morning, where the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. It says, great is his faithfulness. And the enemy's attacking our mind. Where is your God? Where is his faithfulness? Where is he? He's here and he's now. That's where he is. So we look forward to the day that is coming because he has made it. We're to rejoice in it and magnify God in it and walk in the victory of the cross, right? Hard as that is sometimes. And so, you know, and then I dealt with the point that he overcame the world. Now I'm not getting into a major teaching on this stuff, but we have to think victoriously. We have to think victory, regardless of the impossibilities that we face. Now, let's just talk for a few minutes before I close about divine direction. I won't do anything without divine direction. I just won't do it. I won't make up something and think, well, this is good. No, I want to hear from God. I want to honor God. By learning to trust him with all my heart, not lean on my own understanding, that's where we get in trouble. In all our ways, acknowledge him. How many? All. I want to acknowledge God. And he will direct your path. I think that's a profound verse of scripture. And I want God, I want to live my life in a way where God is directing my life in the detail of his purpose, right? And knowing that his ways are always higher than our ways, I don't want to come up with my own ideas. I want God to give me the anointing of the Holy Spirit to know what to do. So we talk about divine direction. We are talking about the guidance that comes from God. It is a relationship, a deep and intimate connection with the Creator of the universe. A movement of grace and love that draws us closer to God and aligns our lives with his purposes. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Look at that scripture. That's in Ephesians 1:11, and I'm sorry if I know I asked Carolyn, I asked you about either or. So if we don't get them, that's fine. It's my fault, but so the divine direction, it's this one. You sent that up, didn't you, Carolyn? Yeah. What's that? Discovering divine direction. There it is, right there. Let's look at Ephesians 1. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we just need to... In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Say, I have an inheritance. I'm not going to be given inheritance. I already have it. Let's claim it. Let's acknowledge it. Let's live in it. We don't ask God for an inheritance. We already have it in Christ, right? Okay. Being predestined according to the purpose, he predestined us. And when did he do it? He did that before we were born. of him who works, say all things. But sometimes we have a very difficult time believing that God's going to do anything for us according to the counsel of what? His will. How many want God's will in our life? Amen. I mean, I want to please God. I don't know about people if they're unconscious of his will, but I want to do the will of God. And so the divine direction we seek is a promise given and a plan before we were even born, laid before us a path that is illuminated by the light of God's word and the guidance of the Spirit. Not always easy to follow. It is often obscured by the distractions of the world, by our own desires and fears, and by the lies and deception of the enemy. But it is there, always there, waiting for us to step into it and to walk in it. Now let's just look at a couple scriptures before we close. If we could. I have a list of scriptures down here. And I might have had a... That's the wrong scripture, I'm sorry. Isaiah 33:11, disregard it. Isaiah 46:10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet? Are you physically dead yet? Then there are things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Now, I like God's counsel because it's going to stand. Because it's built on the rock. So, Isaiah 14:24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and I have purposed, so shall it stand. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. Isaiah 41:4. There's no random order here. They're just scriptures, but who has performed and done it? Calling generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, am first and with the last, I am he. Isaiah 41:4. I like those scriptures. And then Isaiah 8:3. That's not the one either. So I don't know where we got those. I say praise the Lord. Well, 2 out of 5 is, I don't know how we got those scriptures. I really don't. So the first aspect of divine direction is the recognition God is not distant, a distant deity who set the world in motion, then stepped back to watch it spin. He is personal and present. God, who is actively involved in the world and in the lives of his people. Say he's actively involved. But that's the truth, isn't it? Through his living and active word, he is the one who guides